you would take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13, reading verses 24 through 30. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Pew Bible, it's on page 847. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. For while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Ron was a rather tough person, rather rough in the way he lived his life. And he had successfully fended off most attempts to get him to attend church. One day, a friend began to talk with Ron about church, and Ron started putting up his defenses, as he always did, and said, "Don't tell me, they've gotten to you now. All those church people think they're better than anybody else. All they ever do is look down on you." His friend looked at him and said, "Well, you know, that's what I thought. And I found a lot of them that way. But I found one that's different. In fact, this one's full of sinners." Ron began chuckling. And he responded, "Well, I'd like to see that. I just might be able to go there. I could sure relate to those sinners." His friend convinced him to come the next Sunday, said he would pick him up and take him with him. When he went with him, Ron walked in and he looked around. He saw people of all ages and types. Some of them were dressed in suits, some in jeans, and all kinds of clothing in between. He looked around and he noticed that there were people in that sanctuary that he had seen out on the street. People that he didn't know if he felt too comfortable being around. And he looked at his friend and said, "What in the world is this? They look like what I expect to see in those other churches." Ron's friend smiled at him and said, "They are. But they understand that they're sinners too, and that we're all sinners. It's just that some of us admit it and try to do something different about it. Give them a chance. They might give you one too." The Sinner's Church. Maybe a few of you wondered what in the world we were going to talk about with the Sinner's Church. Maybe that one that was on the news recently that was really a front for some illicit activities that were taking place. No. Don't want to stand around and talk about that one. Maybe some of those whose leaders sell timeshares over and over and over again. But we're not even going to be talking specifically about those. I want to talk about the church in general. For that is exactly what we are, is a sinner's church. This type of understanding by church members that we are all forgiven is an ideal. And some people actually accomplish working together and giving people a chance, recognizing that we are all sinners. And the difference in some of us and others is that we admit it, we have asked for forgiveness, and we have accepted that forgiveness. But unfortunately, there are a lot of folks in churches who are much more like Ron's expectation than the ideal of the church that gives a chance. There are many out there who look at people who are different as less than themselves. Some end up causing a great deal of trouble within the church. Others fill our inactive roles. And still others are present, but they're really inactive Christians when it comes to serving in the ministries of the church. Doesn't that term seem a little bit like an oxymoron? Inactive Christian? Seems to me Christians are supposed to be active. So what do we do with people in the church? How do we overcome difficulties? How do we overcome those things that occur when we finally have to realize and recognize and admit that we are all sinners, we're all human, and that our church is a sinner's church? This problem has faced the church throughout its existence. Many claim to believe the Bible and claim that God leads them, yet they rarely participate, often complaining. Now, I know that there are some people who can't come to worship, who would love to be in worship, who would love to be at our fall festival and at our luncheons, but for physical reasons or other reasons cannot really be here. But you know, we have a lot of people that can, and that sometimes seem not to care. All churches have those inactive roles. What are we to do? Some preachers out there might suggest we write them a letter and tell them we're dropping them from the roll if they don't show up. I've known churches to do that. Interestingly enough, back when we were talking about the history of the church last year, about this time for our 125th homecoming, someone ran across a letter that had been written and was sent out to members who were behind in paying their tithes. That was way back. They were behind in paying their tithes and told that they needed to catch up or they'd be dropped from the roll. One minister said, though, that we're doing people a disservice by keeping them because we perpetuate the idea that being on the church roll gets them saved. But that's not what we're about. Rather than dropping them from the rolls, we should reach out. I know sometimes it gets discouraging. You invite a person, you invite a person, you invite a person, and they don't ever seem to hear you. Maybe they even say, "Leave me alone, don't want to hear it anymore." And you pray for them for a while, and then you don't seem to see any results, and so you drop them from your prayer list. But I would submit that just as we are part of the sinner's church that have experienced that forgiveness, and we are drawn together to celebrate that, so we should continue to pray and never drop them from our prayers, from our role, but pray that God will reach out and touch them so that they will recognize that we're all sinners in here together. The text today gives us a different idea, though, about whether we should drop them or not. In fact, the text says no. The text says if they're inactive, don't drop them. The text says if they come but don't participate, don't pluck them up, but continue to pray and work until the time of harvest. Jesus is preaching to two groups of people in Matthew chapter 13. One group is the crowd. The crowd which contains both followers of His and detractors. Another group is made up of Jesus' disciples. Those who closely follow Him and hang on every word. As Jesus tells the parable, each group hears through their own personal experience and biases. Look at what we find here. The seed is sown in a field. The field could be the church, or the neighborhood, or the town. The seed that is sown is good seed. It is seed that should be able to produce. The seed that grows and bears fruit corresponds to those sinners who hear the gospel, the good news, who take it to heart, who allow it to grow, who put down deep roots and study so that they can produce for God's kingdom. It is the Christian that allows the Word to take root. It is the Christian that cultivates Bible study, discussion, sharing in life with others around. This represents those whom Jesus seeks to establish as people who grow in God, warts and all, still sinners, but sinners whose hearts are fertile. But the weed is not the only thing to grow. As often occurs, as anyone knows, in your gardens, whether they be flower gardens, vegetable gardens, weeds also grow in the field. I was reading an article recently about planting plots of food and how people sometimes wonder why all the weeds come up. They go in and they clean everything out and they till the ground and they put down Roundup or whatever, and then they come back a few weeks later and they plant the plot of food, and then as it grows they still see all these weeds in it. I wish I could recall how many hundreds of thousands of seeds, when weeds are allowed to grow, fall and get down into the soil, and as the soils turn it goes down below where the Roundup and the other stuff reach, so that when the moisture comes they still grow. But the wheat's not the only thing to grow. The weeds grow too. The weeds are not the result of the farmer. They spring up either by an enemy or from the field itself, lying fallow for too long, not being cultivated for a long period. It seems that no matter how hard one might try to clean up the weeds, they still manage to grow. And in this instance, the weed is actually called bearded darnel, which looks like the wheat. Looks just like the wheat as it grows in the early stages. And they grow side by side. By the time the farmer could tell which was which, the roots were so intertwined that to attempt to separate them and pull up the weeds would destroy the wheat. Eventually, they had to be separated because the false wheat was poisonous. If people ate it, they got nauseous and dizzy and had other problems. The farmhands wanted to pull up the tares, your text may say, or the weeds. But the farmer says, no, leave them there for now. While their idea might sound good, it's an impossible task for them to know how to separate that which is good from that which is not until the time of the harvest. They're to leave the weeds alone and continue to cultivate that which can be useful and produce fruit. Sometimes that's how we look at the church. Some people say, oh, I'm not going to church because it's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites there. What better place for them to be? There may be many fault finders, some of whom would want to clean up the mess that is around them. But our purpose is not to cleanse the church of sinners. It is not to weed them out. We are to help cleanse the world around. First by cleaning ourselves, and then by being on a mission given from God in Jesus. We need to let others know that we are a sinner's church. We are humans. And as humans, we are sinners. And we don't cease sinning as long as we're alive. Wish we did. Maybe you do, I don't. I try. But you know, Paul said, those things that I really want to do, I seem not to be able to do. And the things I don't want to do, I still do them. Sometimes in a lapse of judgment, a moment of lacking, a time without fault. We need to let others know the church is filled with sinners who find forgiveness, who find help bearing the burdens of living, who are not plucked up and discarded before having an opportunity to be transformed. While the wheat grew along with the weeds, and the weeds could not be transformed, there is a difference in the field of wheat and weeds and in the field in which we sit, in which we stand and sing, in which we pray, in which we study. We could all be weeds. We could all be weeds if we sought to do everything on our own and by ourselves. We could not produce. But through the transforming power that God, through Jesus the Christ, brings, we can be changed. We are being changed. We are sinners, yes. And this is a sinner's church, yes. But we are sinners who have had an opportunity to be transformed, to produce fruits of righteousness as we relate to God and as we relate with others. We're not called to condone sin. We're not called to weed it out. We're not called to cleanse. That's the work of God. But we are called to care for the sinners, ourselves and those around, so that God can transform, so that more wheat will grow, and so that weeds can be changed. There is no perfect church any more than there is a perfect garden. I know some people have near perfect gardens, it seems. And I know some people work and work and work at those gardens to try and make them perfect. But I also know Miss Sally's out there nearly every day working in the dirt and pulling weeds, aren't you, Miss Sally? And she has beautiful flowers and a beautiful garden, but she still has to pull the weeds and work to cultivate for it to produce. I have rose bushes, and they have some very beautiful roses, but I still have to work at keeping the weeds out and the other things for them to produce, to cultivate, to feed. There is no perfect church. The wheat grows alongside the weeds, and sometimes we might think that the weeds are going to choke us out. But if we work hard, and if we feed each other, and cultivate our own hearts, our own minds, our own garden, the harvest will produce enough to feed the world, to feed the entire world of sinners. The bread of life that changes and transforms and brings the sinner's church as Christ's church. May we pray. Oh Lord our God, we do not often like to think of our shortcomings. We would much rather look around us and look for the weeds to pull than to take the time to look at ourselves and cultivate, to prune, to feed, to grow. Help us to recognize that we are all sinners. Some of us are saved by your grace. Others need to know that they too may be saved by your grace. Help us to cultivate within our own hearts, within our own minds, within our own fellowship, within our own community, that understanding that sinners can be changed, that the church is here as a church for sinners who would be changed. Help us to share that good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 64. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. God sent and continues to send the Christ into the hearts, into the midst of those who are in need. And sometimes when we who have accepted Christ as our Savior are in need, we forget that He's still there to help us, sinners all. He is indeed our friend. He is the one who saves us, who sustains us. If you have never made a profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and accepted Him as such, our altar is open to you. If you would unite with us to minister in and through and from this place, our altar is open. If you would recommit yourself, our altar is open here. May the altar of your heart be open as well. Hymn number 64, Jesus, what a friend for sinners.